Thank you. हरे कृष्णा। जो जो दर्शन करने के लिए आए हैं उनको विनती है कृपया शांति बनाए रखिए और जिनको बैठना है वो बैठ जाइए। थोड़ा सा आवाज कम करेंगे, वॉल्यूम कम। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा। आई थिंक समबडी शुड टेल द क्राउड टू कंट्रोल। हरे कृष्णा। सब लोग बोलेंगे एक बार हरे कृष्णा। जो भी खड़े हैं सब लोग बोलिए हरे कृष्णा। कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय, ओम नमः शिवाय। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, सब लोग बोलिए कोई कंजूसी मत कीजिए। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इतना अच्छा होता अगर सब लोग बोलते। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सब लोग बोलिए एवरीबॉडी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे बोलो 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 पुकारो जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा इताई गौर प्रेमानंदे श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ भगवान की श्री श्री गौरा निथाई की श्री श्री गिरिधारी गोपाल की श्री महादेव शंकर भगवान की बाबुलनाथ जी महादेव की निथाई गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Everybody sing loudly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये हरे कृष्णा सब लोगों का एवरीबॉडी वी वेलकम एवरीबडी टू राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल. हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर कमिंग टू राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल. टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 चैप्टर 17 कैंटो 1 श्रीमद् भागवत. यस्त्वं कृष्णे गते दूरम् सह गांडीव धन्वना शोचोस्य शोचान् रहसि प्रहरन् वदमर्हसि. यस्त्वं कृष्णे गते दूरम् सह गांडीव धन्वना शोच्योस्य अशोच्यान् रहसि प्रहरन् वधम् अर्हसि. यस्त्वं कृष्णे गते दूरम् सह गांडीव धन्वना शोच्योस्य अचोष्यान् रहसि प्रहरन् वधम् अर्हसि. प्रहरन् वधम् अर्हसि. यस्त्वं कृष्णे गते दूरम् माताजी बोलो बोलो. माताजी एनीबडी ओके. यह ऑन अकाउंट ऑफ त्वम यू रोग कृष्णे लॉर्ड कृष्णा गते हैविंग गॉन अवे दूरम आउट ऑफ साइट सह अलोंग विथ गांडीव the bow named Gandiv, Dhanavana, the carrier, Arjuna, Shochaha, culprit, Asi, you are considered, Ashochyan, innocent, Rahasi, in a secluded place, Praharan, beating, Vadham, to be killed, Arhasi, deserve. Translation. You rogue, do you dare to beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and the Arjun, the carrier of Gandiva bow, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed. Purport. In a civilization where God is conspicuously banished and there is no devotee warrior like Arjun, the devotee like Arjun, associates of the age of Kali take advantage of this lawless kingdom and arrange to kill innocent animals like the cow in the secluded place like slaughterhouses. Such murderers are of animals stand to be condemned to death by the order of the pious king like Parikshit Maharaj. For a pious king, the culprit who kills an animal in a secluded place is punishable by
the death penalty, exactly like a murderer who kills an innocent child in a secluded place. A serious matter. Umagyanatimirandasya yananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त बृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे. सो दिस पर्टिकुलर स्टोरी विच इज गोइंग ऑन इन भागवतम नाउ इन ब्रीफ महाराज परीक्षित इज ruling the kingdom after the departure of Pandavas. He has now grown up from childhood and become a king. And while there used to be a custom where the king would dress up differently, change his dress and do personal vigilance. His spies also will do the vigilance, but he also will go. Not that spies will only give report, he will go personally. So when he is not in disguise actually in this case, but he sees a black, tall, big-bodied, kingly person beating a bull and the cow. And the cow is trembling in fear and the bull has lost three legs because of beating and trembling on one foot only, one leg only. Very pathetic situation. A common man like you and me, we are not administrators or prashasaki adhikari, we are not having authority to punish anybody, but a common man, when he will see a bull trembling, being beaten by somebody, a cow trembling, he'll create pain in the heart. In his case, he was responsible king to keep the law and order in place. So he got very angry, extremely angry. And he raised his sword and he was about to kill that person. And now he is talking to him, "You rogue, you most wretched personality, you deserve to be killed because you are killing the innocent animal in a secluded place like this." Whether we kill an animal in a secluded place or in public place, it is equally punishable. But generally, such kind of heinous activities, even the rogues will do in secluded place. But they don't want anybody to see or anybody to raise eyebrows or give some negative reaction. They want to do it very peacefully, without hindrance. That's why slaughterhouses are all closed from all sides. If they were with glass walls, many people would give up eating non-veg, the way they get killed. But because people should keep eating non-veg, it's all in seclusion. They don't soundproof walls are there. So that all the cries and blood and everything is not seen by anybody and they just eat the final product, which is nicely packed, attractively advertised. And especially here, cow is involved. So one can ask question, why so much stress on the cows? Why we don't talk so much about goats who are maximally killed also, or chicken who are also killed in large number? Because cows are very dear to Krishna. It's very simple. If someone who is very dear to me, you harm, I'm going to get angry. You can't ask me, why are you getting angry when I'm hurting somebody? No, it's very dear to me. That is enough reason to get angry. You can take action. The Supreme Lord can choose anybody to be beloved. And Supreme Lord loves the cows as his beloved. So nobody can ask question why he loves cows. Why is he so differential? Why doesn't he love goats? He loves goats also. He loves goats, he loves you, he loves me, he loves insects, he loves mosquito, he loves everybody. All of his children. But even amongst our children, suppose you have, my brother's father has five sons. Even amongst five sons and two daughters, there is somebody very favorite, somebody very pet. Elder one is maybe pet, youngest one is also pet. Plus one who serves and one is very closely connected, one who, whatever the reason is. Even Krishna had five Pandavas as his closest friends. But even amongst them, Arjuna was special. Bhimsen was differently special. Yudhishthir was called as Haridasa Varya, differently special. And each and everybody's love was different. In fact, Krishna's love for each and everybody's living entity is also different. You can't say the way he loves me, he loves you the same way. No, it's also different. Although he loves everybody, but still the depth of love is different as per the loving relationship and the service involved. But even all this thing is true, still the cow is very special because cow is very dear to Krishna. So much dear to Krishna that he has named his kingdom after cow. When he comes down, he calls Gokul his kingdom. When he goes to his original abode, it's called Goloka Vrindavan, where the cows stay. The meaning is, Goloka means where the cows stay. Gokul means the family of cows. Gokula. So when someone does any offense to cows, many of you may not be eating cow flesh here, for sure. But you may not know this. That's why I'm telling. If one eats goat, for example, or chicken, for example, or people eat anything now, these days. So if you eat some amount of flesh from one animal, you have to take birth of the as the animal and get killed to atone or nullify the sin that you have incurred by eating flesh from that one living entity. You got my point? You may not eat full goat. You may eat little. But even if you eat little from one goat, you have to take birth as that goat. So there may be many people who will take birth as goat because they have eaten from one goat. So one goat is killed, but many men or women or children will take birth again as a goat. And when they'll get killed, that one time eating will be nullified. One non-veg eater, how many times he must be eating non-veg? And he must be eating also chicken, he must be eating fish also, he must be eating prawns also, he must be eating so many things. So one human life of non-vegetarian eating will cause a living entity or you and me to take birth millions of times. Now the smaller living entity you eat, like prawns, you may be eating one time 50 prawns, I don't know. So in one lunch sitting, you are registering yourself for 50 prawns. Birth. One lunch sitting. Forget about dinner, breakfast and in between what you do. This is still okay. My dear friends, this is still, what I'm going to tell you now compared to that, this still appears okay. But if you eat, you happen to eat, or you come across somehow unknowingly you eat cow flesh. Naturally from, you can't eat a whole cow. So, you eat little, whatever you can, from one cow. You know how many times you have to take birth as per Manusmriti? As per Manusmriti, one has to take birth equal to the number of hair particles on the whole body of a cow. And the cow's skin is something like 5.5 square meters. And each square inch has got about 150 or 200 hair follicles. You can see your hand. You can see now. Imagine one square inch here. And you can try to count how many hair follicles are there. There may be at least 100, 200. And I've got a body of 5.5 square meters. Surface area. So, it is explained in Bhishma Dev's story that Arjuna had shot arrows in each hair follicle of Bhishma Dev's body. There's no a single finger can go in between the two arrows which had been shot by Arjun in body of Bhishma Dev. And that time it is explained, I read somewhere, that human being's body has got 3.5 crore hair follicles, approximately. And human being's body is much smaller than cow body. That all of you agree, right? So if 3.5 crores is human body hair follicles, how many cows must be having? At least 4 times. So 14 crores. Average, I'm saying. Forget about actuals. So if you eat little flesh from one cow at one time only, you are now registering yourself for minimum 14 crores of cow births in which you and me will be killed, slaughtered, to nullify the sin of eating one time little cow flesh. So how much ever tasty it must be, it's a very deadly proposal. A wise man, if he is a wise personality, even though he is completely convinced of sense gratification, enjoyment at any cost, but he will realize this is not a good proposal. This is simply useless proposal. I want to enjoy without any punishment. If that is your mood, if that is your wisdom, then one will never eat flesh. This is simply utterly foolishness to eat flesh. How much enjoyment it gives you? The food, as per Mahabharata, food gives you enjoyment till the time only it is in the mouth. You know? The taste buds, when they salivate and when they chew, masticate, that's the only time you get happiness. And then some happiness of filling, udara bharana. After that, if you see the food or you take out the food, you will vomit yourself. If you have to see what is there in the stomach, what form it is. Son papdi. If you want to see what is there in the stomach, you will never eat son papdi. So even visually, taste point of view, masticating point of view, the happiness only remains when it is outside the body and when it is in the mouth. That's all. And for that much happiness, so much troubles we are buying and getting into. So what lacks is knowledge. What lacks is only knowledge. And human beings are supposed to receive knowledge because they are human beings. We don't expect cats and dogs to take notebooks and write dieting notes. Only human beings can do that. Take notebook and start writing notes and remember and revise and follow in life. That's why even from the most hardest materialistic point of view, eating meat is not a good proposal at all. Not at all encouraging proposal. With full knowledge if you have. I think no human being after getting human birth should incur into multiple lifetimes after this lifetime. We should end the cycle of birth and death at the end of this human lifetime. That is the intelligence of a human being. If a human being doesn't inculcate knowledge and then gets into multiple lifetimes of suffering because of one human lifetime, then it is the whole purpose of giving the human life to us is finished, is smashed. Human life is such a powerful time span that it can take you from here straight to Goloka Vrindavan to associate with Sri Krishna directly. But at the same time, potentially, it can cause such a damage to the soul that millions and billions of lifetimes it will put you into hellish situations of suffering just because of ignorance and activities done misusing the human independence. There's something different called human independence and animal independence. In the worst of animal independence, the animal will not break any laws of nature. But in human independence, human will go and break all the laws of nature and create a worst of worst situation for himself. So everything has pros and cons. You get the best of things if you get a bi-edged sword, then you can use it in the war to kill the enemies. Or if you mishandle the bi-edged sword, then you will hurt yourself and maybe kill yourself to death. I mean, bleed yourself to death. So knowledge, please take it seriously. One has to learn about the knowledge of reality, the truth. So coming back to this verse, that black man is Kali. It is explained in scriptures that even a pure devotee like Parikshit Maharaj was unable to stop Kali from entering. Point to note. He was actually able to kill Kali also. He could have killed him. But by the will of the providence, by the will of the plan that the Lord has for the material world, the script that he has written, in which it is mentioned in the script that the Kali will be there for to the end of Kali Yuga, he will be there. The whole Yuga is after named after him. So he has to be there and he has his role to play. And a definite specific plan is there. So, although wanted to, but Parikshit Maharaj could not kill Kali. So what we have to learn is some things are inevitable in life, which you cannot change. Although you think you have the power to change, but still you cannot change. And what you cannot change is to be understood as the will of the Lord. So you try your best in your capacity, in your understanding of dharma, to change things or to treat things or to make things favorable. But at certain point you'll come to know, I am now against the wall and I cannot change these things. Like, in chemotherapy, in cancer, we know, we go on doing chemotherapy, you go on doing chemotherapy. At one point of time, you have done the one cycle, you have done two cycles, and you come to know the tumor is increasing only. So we come to know now chemotherapy is useless. So what we tell the patient? Stop the chemotherapy, accept the disease as it is, and wait for the outcome, whatever the outcome may be. Certain point of time, you have to accept things as they are. You cannot just change. Because Ishvara Ichha Baliyasi, Sri Krishna's desire, the will of the providence is always powerful than what you think and I think. And we have to learn to accept. Because when we learn to accept, things become totally better and different than what they are when you are struggling with them. When you are struggling with the situations, it becomes very painful. Why? Because struggle itself is a trouble. Struggle is not easy. When you do sangharsh with something, it's not a pleasant singing poetry. Sangharsh is always very powerful actions which you do with no result because things will not change anyways. So it's a frustrating situation. But the moment you accept things as will of the Lord, then what happens? The hidden mercy in that event which Lord has in store for you will be revealed to you. Till the time you and me struggle with the situations which are not changeable anyways, the hidden mercy for you which is already planned, ordained for you and me, is not revealed, is not available. And the moment you say, yes, my Lord, the mercy will be available to you. It will affect your soul. It will purify your soul. It will take you closer to the Lord. Also, it will give you strength to bear the inevitable. Even the inevitable is very painful for you, but you will get strength to bear it. And also you will get a strength to say thank you to the Lord for all the pain that inevitable situation will give you. So Parikshit Maharaj, how did Kali manage to stay in spite of about to be killed? He immediately surrendered at the feet of the king and said, "Oh king, I am also your subject, like the cow and the bull, and like the mosquito and like the goat. So don't kill me, I am your subject, I am your praja, give me place to stay." And he was a virtuous king, dharma pradhan raja. So he had to stop killing. One who surrenders to you cannot kill. Plus he said, give me place to stay. So he had to give him place to stay. And he could not find any place to stay. Whatever he said, go where illicit sex is going on, go where intoxication is going on, go where killing is going on, go where Dyutakrida is going on. And Kali said, in your kingdom there is no place like this. So where do I stay? He said, go where excess gold is. What is excess gold? Wealth. And what is excess wealth? Excess wealth is a residential place for Kali. There is no harm in having wealth. But when you keep wealth, which is more than necessary to maintain you, and which is not utilized in service to the Lord, you may not do any sinful activities, but you have more wealth than what you need. You have done enough khana, pina, eating, dressing, whatever you need to enjoy, you have done enough. But still there is excess wealth. And if that excess wealth is just lying there also, that lying wealth also will corrupt our consciousness. Sanchaya, dhana sanchaya, will corrupt our consciousness. And how does it corrupt? It causes kalaha and dambha. It causes fights and it causes hypocrisy. So you may think, I'm not using it into drinking wine or womanization or gambling. It's just lying there. That lying there itself is breeding of Kali. Kali breeds in that wealth which is lying unused. So you may invest money, but you need to have plan to use it in service to Krishna or Vaishnavas or needy people. If you don't have that plan, money will not keep quiet. Money always speaks. Money always corrupts. And money corrupts absolutely. It corrupts absolutely. It doesn't corrupt, minutely. So we have to understand how to accept the will of the Lord. Now I will, before I come to today's wonderful stories, I'll tell you how Kali actually works. Kali will try to destroy the principles of religion. These are all false. These are all false. Don't follow this. Don't follow this. And some of the agents of Kali will concoct new principles of religion. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. Generally, today people have to have fashion to say, I believe, I believe. That means they feel whatever they believe is dharma. It's their own dharma. I believe. But who cares what you believe? There's a law. If you believe the law, then your belief is matching with the real belief. But if you believe something else than the law, then we will suffer. You may choose to believe whatever you want to believe in your so-called minute independence. But the results will not be in our hands. Then, whatever principles remain after mutilating by the agents of Kali, to follow them will be great difficulty. What is the cow trembling? What does it mean? That means struggle to even follow the remaining principles which we want to follow. Because there is so many obstacles will be there, Kali will produce. So like the cow is trembling, there will be so many obstacles make us tremble to perform our duties. Then there are some natural authorities, like husband is to wife, teacher is to students, king is to the praja, and so many groups of things you can deny. Kali, in Kali Yuga, all these so-called authorities are proved to be unreliable and untrustworthy by the power of Kali. How? All children will feel we should not follow our parents. They are untrustworthy, unreliable authorities. The congregation of Samaj, Bhakta Samaj, will feel that the leader, the sadhu, is unreliable, untrustworthy. We should not follow him. The praja, overall praja, you know now, the kingdom, the praja, the society people, they don't have faith in government. They want to evade taxes, they want to do whatever, break the laws, rules. So who is doing this? Kali is preaching us, instead of supporting, these natural authorities are exploiting you. So don't follow them. Then Kali will preach, see how these authorities are exploiting you. What do? You be independent. You think of yourself. You care for yourself. Who else will care for yourself except you? Be your own authority. This is Kali. Then Kali will propagate Kali's pet theory. Kali has a very favorite theory of evolution. Tradition and authority will be forced. Traditional authority will obstruct your progress. So somebody will say, you dress up like this, you behave like this, you bow down to seniors. All these set norms of religion and dharma and behavior, Kali will preach you, they will obstruct you from growth. Don't do all those things. The children will be forced to think by Kali, we are more evolved than our parents. See, all children, Hare mummy, what do you know? Papa, what do you know? Do you know anything? You are all backward mentality people. The world is changing today. All children by default, including us when we were children, we were thinking that our parents don't know. They don't understand. And when we became parents, our children think we don't know. And our children will become parents, their children will think they don't know. This is how it is, how the Kali works. And as generations grow, this thinking will become more deeper. Like the way I was thinking, my father doesn't know. My children will think much more strongly how I don't know. I don't know. Children think we know much better. Following our old fashioned parents will impede our progress. This is what the thought process amongst the youngsters constantly going on. Kali also propagates unbearable continuous quarrel. This is Kali's weapon. How do you know whether Kali, you are under the influence of Kali or not? If you are constantly fighting with somebody, be sure that you are under the influence of Kali. You are finding some faults, you are making some complaints, you are making some quarrel, you know. And somehow without knowing all these things, we keep continuously fighting with somebody. This is Kali Yuga. And second thing is hypocrisy. You show people what you are not. Try to work hard to show people what you are not. You create a facade. That is influence of Kali. All of us are subjected to that. We always want to show what we are not. But we have to try our best to not to do so. If we do so, we have to correct it and try to become pure and maintain our dignity by facing the reality as it is. So, how does the quarrel affect? To break apart traditions and social structures. To choose, this is very important. How does Kali work? To choose enjoyment over duty. There are many conditions in life where it demands duty from you. But you shun the duty and you take the enjoyment. For example, I'll give you a simple example. Suppose somebody's mother is very sick on the deathbed. So duty is to take care of her or him, father. Go out of the way, give up your pleasures and comforts and take care of your mother and father. But what people in Kali Yuga will do? They will not do their duty and wait for the death of the parent to get their share. That is enjoyment. So what they will do? They will choose enjoyment over the duty and wait for the death of the beloved parents so that when they will die, they will get some share and then they will enjoy. And some people already make the plans when that will come, what I will do also. This is Kali. They choose mastership over submission. Whenever there is opportunity, they will like to become masters. They will become want to become controllers. If you are not HOD of the department, when the HOD goes on leave, you want to immediately become the boss of the department. So, choosing mastership over submission is another sign of Kali. And see, in spite of all these effects of Kali, Kali is preaching, be independent, be yourself, be your own master, decide yourself. I know, still what is happening to people, even after following all these Kali's preachings, people are constantly, there's something called as difficult to deny rationales of Kali. Kali has some proposals, you know, rationales, which are difficult to deny. And we follow them. But still people find themselves more and more filled with anxiety, general dissatisfaction, loneliness, frustration, societal tendencies in spite of having everything in the world. Then Kali comes forward and tells you, you are frustrated, you are lonely, you are discontented, break the boundaries more, break the boundaries much more and progress. And if you are having pain, if you are suffering, don't worry. Take drugs, take intoxication, watch movies, take sports, enjoy sex, forget your miseries. There are so many opportunities to enjoy. Why get bogged down with so many things? Enjoy. So further degradation. Whatever once already been preached and we are following, by following we are frustrated. So the Kali is telling, do this, do that, take intoxication. You will be out of these things. Enjoy non-stop. That is your right. Increase your self-esteem because you are the most important person. This is what Kali Yuga is always preaching us from within. We may not realize even in the moment of Krishna consciousness, this is preaching is going on from within. You are the most important devotee. You are the most important personality in the temple atmosphere, in the congregation. You need your own esteem, self-esteem. You need to also enjoy. Life is meant for Anandamayo Vyasat. We are hearing. You are supposed to enjoy. Why are you not enjoying? Why you are not getting the best of Mahaprasad? You should and you deserve. This is what is happening. So Kali's aim is to make the false ego flourish. And Srila Prabhupada says, how does the false ego work? The chief function and the chief platform of false ego is godlessness. When you eradicate God from your life, then you become prominent. And that's how false ego is cultivated. So this is, I thought, a very nice philosophical understanding about how Kali works on us. We even may not know how it is working on us. I may feel I am a devotee, and I may feel I know everything, and I may feel I am coming out of all the clutches of Kali, but how deeply I am in the clutch of Kali, subtly, within myself, is like this. So constantly, we need to have an authority who is advanced, and we need to submit ourselves, and we need to follow, although it may be difficult at certain times to follow, but we need to keep following sincerely. And then the truth will be revealed to us. And then one day we, you and me will come to know actually what I was thinking earlier, although being a devotee, was my influence of Kali on me. I was thinking it was Krishna conscious. But now the reality will be revealed by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. It's very important actually, because you know, so many years of Krishna conscious life may pass still without knowing that actually Kali is working on me. And I think Krishna is working on me. I think I am under the mercy of Krishna. Nobody is free. Only those who have taken shelter of a pure devotee, Sadguru, are having hopes to get free. Not that they are free today, but they will be hopeful to get free. And for that, constant surrender to the pure devotee, spiritual master, has to be there. It has to be exhibited constantly, moment to moment. You cannot be surrendered in February 2023, and from 1st March you choose to be free, independent, and again on 1st April you think I should surrender. That is not going to work. We need to have continuous, consistent surrender to pure devotee of the Lord. If we folly in between, slip in between, we have to rise again with determination, with the help of devotees, and again do the same thing what we are supposed to do. Yes, there may be slip off, but we need to come back. Make a comeback in spiritual life. And real comeback in spiritual life always means following the instruction of spiritual master perfectly, sincerely, from the bottom of the heart, consistently. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I entered the temple and what a scene it was. What a scene. I was entering that road, what a scene it was. Till the seashore people were in queue to take darshan of Lord Shiva. And naturally, even if I wouldn't have planned or wouldn't want, you have to be conscious of Lord Shiva today. And then I come inside and I see Lord Shiva is residing in the altar very gloriously, magnanimously, you know, winning the hearts, capturing the heart. And everybody dancing in the name of Lord Krishna, and in the name of Lord Shiva they have come to visit Lord Krishna also. So this is Harihar Kshetra. Radha Gopinath temple is Harihar Kshetra. What is Harihar Kshetra? Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna stay together in one area. There is one Harihar Kshetra in Mayapur, in Godrumadvip. where I'm telling you how close Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are, Lord Krishna are. It's amazing. There's a deity there, one deity, one personality, one Purusha personality, as half is Lord Shiva, half is Lord Krishna, Vishnu. So half there is Shankha Chakra, whatever, two arms, and half there is Trishul and other things, Damru in the hand. And one is black, one is little ash color. Amazing deity. And that is called Harihar Kshetra. And it is explained that if anyone dies there, everyone dies, right? Suppose people happen to die there, Lord Shiva will come in the ear of that person and chant the holy name of Krishna, perform kirtan and dance in the courtyard of his heart and take the person back home, back to Godhead, Sri Krishna's abode. Like in Navadvip, anywhere one dies, then Lord Nityananda will come and chant the holy name in your ears and dance in the courtyard of the heart and take you back home. In Harihar Kshetra, Lord Shiva will do the same thing. How much Lord Krishna loves Lord Shiva, that we should understand. Here people on the earth and on this platform, people are simply fighting for no reason, uselessly. Who is supreme? Shiva is supreme. Krishna is supreme. Above there is so much friendship and love and affection, and here followers are simply fighting uselessly. It's simply waste of time. Upside there is no problem. People down create problem unnecessarily just to, because of the same thing, false ego, you know, preached by Kali. We are the supreme. We are Shaivites. We are the supreme. We are Vaishnavas. Our Lord is supreme. And they say their Lord is supreme. So very interesting thing, if you read Ganesh Purana or literatures of Ganesh, or you read Devi literature or it is Shiva literature, everywhere which mentioned in Shiva literature, Shiva is supreme personality of Godhead. In Devi literature, Devi is the source of all Krishna, Shiva, Ganpati, everybody, Devi is the source. And if you read Ganpati, then he is the source, original Omkara, and from whom all Devis and every Mahadev, everybody comes up. So, how to reconcile this? Very nicely it is explained that when you put your unflinching faith in your Ishta Devata, if it is Ganesh, for example, not just going there to ask something, by the way, that is not a devotee of Lord Ganesha. That is a common man. He will go and ask anywhere. He will go to ask Shiva also, and he will see wherever he, whatever he gets, he will ask there. There is no love for that person. Please understand. Not necessarily everybody who goes to Ganesha Shiva temple are all devotees of Lord Shiva. They are basically interested in getting whatever they are supposed to get from that. But these all scriptures are preaching to develop affection truly for that person, like Lord Ganesh, Lord Shiva and Devi and anybody else. And when one becomes one in thought, in devotion for that person will immediately reveal the reality to that person. Meaning, if you repose your full faith in Lord Ganesha as Supreme Lord, in true affection, then Lord Ganesh will transfer the real knowledge in your heart, what is the reality. But because we only are in give and take business proposal, they have no chance and platform only to tell you what is the truth. I am the live example here, sitting and giving Bhagavatam class now, of this same philosophy. Because till certain point of time, a long story, I'll cut short. Till certain point of time, I was going to Lord Shiva and doing Abhishek every day. Please get me through my first MBBS exam. I have not studied at all. And I was a rank holder in SSC and a top student in my school. And I have not studied at all. There's a fear of failing in first MBBS, and defame will be there all over the world. Please pass me in my exam. And every Monday, Abhishekam. Every Monday, Abhishekam. And believe me, I passed with first class. Wow. I was so happy. And again Monday came. So I again went. Now I had no list in me. I mean, no, my request is already fulfilled. Somehow by mercy of the Lord, you know, I said, Lord Shiva, I'm so grateful to you. Now I have nothing acute prayer to you. I'm still doing Abhishek to you. I felt I should not be ungrateful. कि वर्क इज डन, व्हाई शुड आई गो टू मंडे टू शिवा टेम्पल. आई फेल्ट वेल आई शुड गो एंड से थैंक यू. एंड आई वेंट वंस एंड ट्वाइस एंड थ्राइस, आई केप डूइंग अभिषेक. एंड देन आई डिडंट नो व्हाट टू प्रे, सो आई सेड माय डियर लॉर्ड शिवा, आई एम सो ग्रेटफुल टू यू, दिस आई एम टेलिंग यू ट्रूथ, प्लीज डू व्हाट इज गुड फॉर मी, व्हाट यू फील इज गुड फॉर मी, माय वेलफेयर, प्लीज डू इट. इन द थर्ड मंथ आई वॉज इन इस्कॉन टेम्पल. And I can, within I can tell you at that time, now this is about 37-year-old story. I was a young boy, just in a medical college, young student, 18-year-old. That time I had this deep feeling in the heart that it is Lord Shiva only who has directed me to Lord Krishna. And that time when I was 18-year-old, whatever faith and attachment I had to Lord, I had with Lord Shiva or to Lord Shiva, today it is 100 times more than that what I had that time. Because now the knowledge has come. And with knowledge, the affection and attachment to Lord Shiva is increased. What was there during 18-year-old time. And that's why I fully believe in this statement, philosophical statement, that if you are attached to any demigod, no problem at all. They are our foundation. In India, naturally, people are worshipping Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesha. I was worshipping Lord Ganesha for many, many years. My father would tell me, ask him this, ask him that. I would have a big list. Like, for example, what I used to pray to Ganesh, in my childhood only, I should have a car. Every year, I should stand first in my exam. I should become, so many things. I should become rich and I should have a very beautiful wife. I used to pray as a child, Lord Ganesha. Big list, and then Lord Shiva. And because today whatever I am doing, I have a deep faith that this is fact. If you worship any demigod, please continue, but worship it with full attachment and try to make it also real affection to that personality in gratitude. I guarantee you that personality will reveal all the truth of life in your heart. So there's nothing wrong in Devata worship, if it is done not out of selfish desire for sense gratification. The problem is not with the demigod, problem with us, because we have desire for sense gratification. So, Lord Shiva is like Kshiram Yatha Dadivikara Vishesha Shobha. Like we have milk and curd. They have little difference, but they are almost same. All the qualities of milk is there. At the same time, they are different. Milk can give diarrhea and yogurt can stop diarrhea. Some difference is there. So Lord Brahma, who is the father of Lord Shiva, is saying, this is how Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna are. Non-different from each other, with little difference. And difference in action and difference in role. So, for all practical purposes, Lord Shiva and Lord Krishna are same. But at the same time, if you meet Lord Shiva, you will find him worshipping Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. Now they don't feel inferiority complex. What my follower will feel, what my devotee will feel. I should chant my Ram Nam in seclusion, not in front of my devotees. Otherwise they lose faith in me as Supreme Lord. No, they don't have any problem. They have full realization of the truth. So Lord Shiva has no hesitation in chanting the holy name in meditation with mala in hand in public, wherever people see him. And then people can ask, oh Lord Shiva, what are you chanting? Then he will tell you, I'm chanting Lord Ram's name and Lord Krishna's name. He's my Lord. And then what about that Rameshwar Mahadev? I saw Lord Ram worshipping you. He said, yes, my Lord is very much fond of worshipping his devotees. Our Lord is so wonderful that he is always eager to worship. Why me only? Every insignificant devotee, the Lord is eager to worship him and glorify him and tell people he is more glorious than me. For Lord, his devotees are much more valuable and important than himself. If you give a choice to the Lord to choose him or his devotee in a particular situation, the Lord will choose his devotee as higher person than himself. He will have no hesitation. Instantly he became the chariot driver of Arjuna. There is no hesitation. Why should I become? Can I send my Sarathi? Can I send Vitali? Can I send somebody? Can I send anybody else? best of best Sarathi to help Arjun in the war. No, immediately he became. It came to time of eating bitten berries of Shabri. He didn't think, you give me, I will eat at home. It's not my dinner time. I'll take my dinner time. This is not my dinner time. And immediately he ate. Because he's so much in love with his devotees. Huh? What he will not do for devotees? See Vrindavan Leela. Similarly, there is a relation between Lord. So why Rameshwar Mahadev is being worshipped by Lord Ram? Because Lord Ram loves his dear one so much that he is worshipping him and showing the world, with his blessings only I am going to cross the ocean. So Lord Shiva is not confused because of that. We all are confused because of that. Especially those who are flag wavers, they are confused because of that. But the reality is not like that. So, Lord Shiva is a very, very... Srimad Bhagavatam is telling, not I am not telling, 12th canto, the culmination of Bhagavatam. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, the ultimate reservoir of all knowledge, Vyasadeva is telling that amongst all the Vaishnavas, the topmost of all Vaishnavas is Lord Shiva. Topmost of all Vaishnavas. Like Ganga is topmost of all rivers, is explained. Like that, Lord Shiva is topmost in all the Vaishnavas. So his behavior is most exemplary behavior as an exemplary Vaishnava. Whenever there is difficulty in anybody's individual life or collectively in the life of the whole world, Lord Shiva will not hesitate to come and help. When there was Samudra Manthan going on between demigods and demons, you know, there was a proposal that we'll churn the milk ocean and take out the Amruta and we'll share it equally and we'll become all invincible. So in that situation, when Manthan was going on, suddenly Halal Vish came out. The Halal Vish was so powerful, even the smell of that will kill people. So everybody, all demigods, all demons, they ran away because the fragrance or whatever that aura was, ran away with for life. And Lord Shiva was called by the advice of the Supreme, call him, and without any hesitation he came. And what he was told? My dear sir, drink this poison. I mean, it's not a service. He will say, hey, what kind of service you are giving me? I thought I'll do some nice service for you. You are telling me to eat, drink poison. But compassion for the suffering living entities is a prime virtue of a devotee. They cannot see anybody suffering. So Lord Shiva's that quality was so much overwhelming that he saw that everybody is suffering here. Demigods, demons, all living entities, everybody who is supposed to be living entities are all suffering just by the presence of this Halala. So without hesitation, he just drank it. And by his extreme powers, he stored everything in his Kantha. And the Kantha became blue. And he was named as Neelakantha. So whenever you see Lord Shiva and see his blue Kantha, you should understand that is a symbol of his compassion over all the living entities. Extreme compassion on all the living entities is exhibited by the Neelakantha. And we should be grateful to him. Even though you may not be facing the Halal today, or Samudra Manthan is not going on today, you are not participant of that Leela today, currently happening, still that wish is there in the world and he can still save you. He can still save you if you worship him and pray to him. But people just go to Lord Shiva to ask, ask and ask. Give me this, give me that, give me good wife, good husband, money, promotion, this and that and that. There's no ending, no end only in the list. When we will ask Lord Shiva, oh my dear Lord Shiva, I love you. You are my worshipable Lord. Tell me what is good for me. Please do good for me. Please guide for my good. Please take charge of my life. Tell me the truth. Please tell me. I don't know. Instantly what Lord Shiva will tell you. And that will, you'll see those things happening in your life also. I can tell you with conviction. Do that. Even gopis are worshipping Katyayani Devi. It is explained very beautifully there. They were not worshipping so that they get wealth or some karmi husband. They were worshipping Katyayani Devi to get Krishna, the Supreme Lord, as their husband, to serve him. There was no any ulterior motivation for sense gratification. So such worship of demigods is bona fide. It is not condemned by scriptures. What is condemned is, even to Krishna also you come and ask for wealth and good wife and husband and this and that. That is condemned. You should not go to king who owns the whole world and tell him, please give me 2 rotis, I am hungry today. Are he can make food provision for you for the whole life. Why to ask two rotis for him? For just one lunch currently. Ask him such provision that your whole life food requirement will be over. And he can do it like this. He will just do one thing like this and he will give you full life food arrangements. But we are so foolish, we go to the king and ask for 2 rotis. Similarly, why ask for sense gratification to Krishna or to Lord Shiva? They can deliver you from the cycle of birth and death. It is explained in scriptures. Lord Ganesha can give you pure bhakti, Devi can give pure bhakti, Skanda can give you bhakti, Lord Shiva can give you bhakti. They are all capable of giving bhakti. But who is asking them bhakti? Nobody is asking them bhakti. They are only asking sense gratification. So poor people, what they will do? I can't give you what you don't want. I can only give you what you want, what you need. What you feel the need, I can give you. You'll be happy. So all these wonderful devotees of the Lord, demigods, are simply giving you, because you don't get attached to them. Once you get attached to them, real knowledge will start flowing in you. So many stories like that. Okay, let us go to Nasik now. Huh? Some stories of Lord Shiva you should know. Lord Shiva's stories in connection with Krishna are unlimited. Some are in Braj Dham and many are out of Braj Dham. There is Braj Leela of Lord Shiva, there is other Leela of Lord Shiva out of Braj. So Lord Shiva is a no-nonsense person. Please understand. He cannot tolerate any nonsense. So ever think you are worshipping Lord Shiva and you can still be nonsense, Lord Shiva will slap you. What to speak of us? Lord Brahma one time had 5 heads in the history. And 4 heads were glorifying and chanting hymns and chanting prayers and chanting suktas. And the 5th head was doing prajalpa. Prajalpa means gossip. Nonsense talk, useless talk, just talking here and there over hours and hours and hours. And doing some ninda also at the same time. So Lord Shiva could not tolerate. Although Brahma is his father, he just picked up Trishul and cut off his head. That head which was talking prajalpa. And the problem is that generally when you cut off the head, it falls. But the head got stuck in Trishul. So Lord Shiva realized that Lord Brahma is Brahmana, Supreme Brahmana. And I have done Brahmahatya. So I have got Brahmahatya Pataka. I have been inflicted by the sin of killing a Brahmana. So he thought I should go and visit holy places and take bath. So he went all over the world in holy places, took bath. But whenever he took bath, the Trishul remained on his, the head of the Brahma remained on his Trishul. He would purposely go with Trishul under the water, but it will come out with the head only out. That means he was not relieved of the sin of Brahmahatya. So he was like frustrated, thinking what to do. I did something good, but I am now attached. This material world is like this only. Even if you do good, there is something which is coming on you always. Material world is, whatever you do, there will be some suffering will be always there, without fail. You got Krishna as a baby. Huh? Yashoda Mata got Krishna as a baby. Devaki got Krishna as a baby. But Kamsa atrocity was all over, it's couple, in package. So even though Krishna is your baby, still they had to do so many things to take Krishna away from there, and Yashoda had to be so fearful, old lady is coming, and then Shaktasura is coming, Trinavarta is coming. It's like, yeah, I have Krishna as my son, but in the material world, the demons are also troubling. So he was like sitting in Ramkunda, where Godavari turns to southern direction in Nasik, Dandakaranya. And he was sitting and thinking, what to do. Suddenly he heard one baby bull talking to his mother. So his immediately ears are standing. And baby bull is telling mother, ki our master Brahmana is very atrocious. He beats me, he harasses me, he mistreats me, and I am fed up now. I have decided to kill him tomorrow morning. So mother cow said, oh my dear child, don't do that. Do you know the power of, the gravity of killing a brahmana? You will be afflicted with the sin of killing a brahmana, brahmahatya. Don't do that. Said, my dear mother, don't worry. I have the perfect solution to get out of brahmahatya pataka. As soon as I kill him, I will get the brahmahatya pataka and I will immediately resolve it and nullify it. I know the solution. So immediately Shiva became more alert. What is the solution? He waited till morning. Next morning, the bull got up and he pierced his thorns in the abdomen of the brahmana, the owner of the cowshed. And with this stabbing of the thorns, horns, the brahmana died instantly. In a bloody mess, he died. And straight the bull, baby bull, jumped in Ramakunda in Godavari. Actually became black, the white bull became black because of the brahmahatya. But he straight jumped in the river Godavari at Ramakunda, where he is turning in south direction. And immediately he came out as white as before. So Lord Shiva also jumped in Godavari with Trishul immediately after that bull. And when he came out this time, there was no head of Brahma on the Trishul. So Shiva got free from brahmahatya. So then he thought, this is the place I got freed from brahmahatya. So I should reside over here to commemorate for my memory. So he stayed there. Immediately Nandi came there to serve him. So he told Nandi, here you cannot serve me. Because here you are my guru. The baby bull is Nandi. So he said, here you have become my guru and guided me to how to get freed from brahmahatya. So here I cannot take your service. Please don't sit here in front of me. So in Kapaleshwar Mahadev, this is called Kapaleshwar Mahadev. Kapal, Brahma Kapal, he was released. So he is named as Kapaleshwar Mahadev. He resides right opposite on the small hillock in front of Ramakunda Godavari, Nasik. And there is no Nandi. And lo and behold, if you read scriptures, it is explained that if you take darshan of Kapaleshwar Mahadev only, you will get the benefit of visiting all 12 Jyotirlingas in all over India. That is the power of Kapaleshwar Mahadev. And there are 12 Jyotirlingas in the whole world, in India. And all are very powerful places. Lord Shiva is so kind that he is always sheltering all the fallen living entities. The most sinful, ghostly, 11 types of ghosts, all sinful people, all demoniac people, he is always sheltering them. Not because he wants to become the demigod for one class of men, big class of men, he can become God for them. No. To rectify them. Somehow or other, to purify them. Somehow or other, to bring them to their senses. Or to save them from their ghostly body and give them some proper body to perform sadhana and go back to Godhead. That's why all ganas, pretas, bhutas, vetalas, pishachas, dakinis, yakshas, chamundas, brahma rakshasas, all taking shelter of Lord Shiva. It's called Bhutanath, Bhuteshwar. Very difficult position. Huh? I always adore Yamraj and Shiva. Yamraj also, greatest devotee of the Lord. Mahajana, Loka Dikpala. What is he doing? Only punishing people. Who will do that service? Only a trustworthy, surrendered soul can do that service. And Yamraj is. So he has become Yamraj. And who will give shelter to all these hobgoblins and pretas and bhutas? You don't even want to go close to them. Even if you are not scared of them, you would not like to go too close to them. And he is sheltering them. He is trying to find where they can get bodies. So he is moving around in the twilight time in the evening. All those bhutas and ganas. My dear friends, note one thing down. All those who are in early marriage situations, freshly married or young, still in the reproductive age, still in active grihastha life, please note, do not come together in twilight time in the evening. Men and women, husband and wife should never come together to unite at twilight time, Sandhi Kala, because at that time Lord Shiva is moving in the atmosphere with all the hobgoblins, all kinds of bhutas and pretas, and whoever does activity of sex during that time, he lets the bhuta soul in you as your child, begetting human body. Who knows this? Now day and night and twilight and Brahma Murta and Madhyanna Murta and everything is all right. Everything is good for enjoyment. But Kali is preaching you, know, enjoy. Every moment is supposed to be enjoyed. Why look for Murta and why look for bad and good Murta? Appa Murta and Shubha Murta. Forget about it. Shakuna, Appa Shakuna, forget. Just enjoy. But when you do this, there's an implication. You can choose to jump from 110th floor of a 5-star hotel. But you cannot choose not to break your bones. The law is that you can jump. I can choose. I jump. But my bones will be broken as per the law of nature. That's how we are bound. So now I cannot end my class without telling Lord Shiva's story in Braj Dham. Lord Shiva and all demigods actually are so eager to see the Lord, especially in Braj Dham and especially in childhood form. The childhood form of the Lord is so attractive. See, child is always attractive. Even the most ugliest black color child of Nigeria or whatever countries or from eastern countries, when the baby is baby, it's always attractive. Now, baby pranks, childhood pranks are so attractive that even the most ugly baby becomes so sweet and attractive to the heart. It only, you know, erupts vatsalya in the heart of person who is watching that child. And what to speak of the supreme beauty, reservoir of all beauty, Sri Krishna, comes as child. How beautiful and attractive the child may be. And that is not seen in Goloka. In Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord is only always 16-year-old youth. Shodasha Varsha, Yuvaka and Yuvati, Radha and Krishna. They don't show their childhood form. There is nothing like sucking the breast or learning to walk or learning to talk or crawling or doing all childhood pranks. This is not seen in Goloka Vrindavan. Only when the Lord takes birth as Lord Ram in Ayodhya, then Tumaka Tumaka Ramachandra Bajat Panjaniya Tumaka Tumaka. That Tumaka Tumaka happiness is there only in Ayodhya when he becomes child. Or when he becomes Krishna in Vrindavan. That not in Mathura. Mathura to take birth, leave immediately to go to Braj. There is no crawling childhood, no happiness for Mother Yashoda, Mother Devaki. All happiness in Braj. So all demigods come running. When Nandotsav was there, it is explained that all the demigods disguised as Brahmanas and came to Nanda, Gokul, to bless the baby. But the purpose was not to bless the baby, to see the baby, basically. So all of them are Brahmanas and Yashoda is wondering, "Are, who are these people? I never invited them." Neither they belong to this community of Gokul Vasis, because they knew everybody from Gokul. But all of them are there. And you know, when there is a marriage or some function, you can't ask, "Who are you?" You can never ask anybody, "Who are you? Who invited you?" That is a bad etiquette. So he just kept guessing. Even Sachi Mata also was guessing when Gauranga's Jagannath Mishra festival was going on. She only was guessing, "Who are these people who are brilliant like shining suns and so powerful looking?" But they came, they blessed the baby and they went away, and she could not ask them only. And that question remained in her mind as ever question only. So, Lord Shiva had come with Nandi. And Nanda Maharaj was distributing cows and bulls in abundance to all the Brahmanas. So when cows and bulls were distributed, immediately Lord Shiva held the tail of his bull. He said, "These bulls also will be distributed in the name of distribution. I will lose my vehicle." वो क्या वो अपने नंदी का पूछ पकड़ लिया सो दैट ही विल नॉट बी डोनेटेड बाय इन द होल सेल डोनेशन. इमीजिएटली पार्वती देवी लिफ्टेड गणेश एंड पुट इट इन लैप. वी हैड टाइम्स ऑफ हाथी घोड़ा पालकी. हां, ही वाज डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग हॉर्सेस एलिफेंट. तो पार्वती फेल्ट की माय बेबी आल्सो इज एलिफेंट लुकिंग लाइक हेड एलिफेंट, तो ही विल बी डोनेटेड टू समबडी, सम ब्राह्मणा. तो शी इमीजिएटली लिफ्टेड एंड होल्डिंग इन हैंड्स. So then, one time he came to Gokul also, and that is called Chinta Haran Mahadev. Same pastime as Asheshwar Mahadev. But I will tell you Asheshwar Mahadev. He came to Gokul to see the baby, and Mother Yashoda rejected him, and he went and sat there and cried, and then Mother Yashoda gave him darshan of Lord Krishna, baby. After some time, they shifted to Nandgaon and Barsana. Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj, they shifted to the original place of residence. And then Krishna was about 3-4 years old. And he took a form of a Rishi, Lord Shiva. But even though he took a form of Rishi, he had the moon crescent on his head. And he had snakes around his neck and arms and head everywhere. But he was a Rishi. So he came to Nandgaon and said, Mother Yashoda, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. So she brought pearls, rice, grains, fruits, so many things she brought. And came out of the door. So he said, No mother, I am not interested in this kind of bhiksha. So first bell rang in her mind. Tong, why this beggar or rishi is not taking routine bhiksha? So he said, she said, what do you want? So he said, I want something else. So she said, what is that something else? I want darshan of your baby. I want darshan of your lala. So another bell. Tong. Why he wants to see my lala? What is there? If he is a, he wants to beg something, he take and go. That's all. And then the second bell in the mind caused some more repercussions. She thought, this Kamsa is sending demons to kill my baby, for which we have shifted from there to here. First he sent a woman, second he sent a cart, third he sent a cyclone, and then afterwards so many demons have, different demons have come. Now he has sent a demon in the form of sadhu. But I am not a fool. I understand all these things very nicely. I am not going to get fooled under this trap in the sadhu ships. Said, whatever I have brought, either you take it or get lost. So Shiva was very, as a rishi, was very unhappy. Said, Mother, I have come from long distance. I have a sincere desire to only see your lala. Please give me darshan. So she got more alarmed. Why is he insisting? Because when I will bring lala to show him, he will kill him. He has so many snakes on him. And she also arguing, I will not bring lala because lala is very small. And you have so many snakes on you. You look so fierce. As soon as he looks at you, he will start crying. I don't want to take a risk. So variety of arguments took place. And finally mother said, nothing doing. Take this bhiksha or go away. And on top of that, she banged the door closed on his face. So Lord Shiva became very sad. He went away down. From mountain he went down. Nearby forest he sat down. He started crying. My Lord, I have come from long distance to see you. I only have desire to see you. My Lord, please give me darshan. How will I get darshan? You have submitted yourself in the custody of your mother fully. In full surrender. She is the full controller of your own existence. How do I take your darshan? How do I get your darshan? He cried and cried and cried. So Lord Shiva exhibited there how one should cry for the Lord. In the most impossible situations, how one should cry and attract the attention of the Lord. He taught us. One more thing he taught, that when things become most hopeless, you know, if Mother Yashoda is saying no, what else in the world can make you get darshan of Krishna? There is no scope only, na? What is the scope? He has submitted himself fully in her hands as mother, in her lap, and she decides not to give darshan to you. What else? Nanda Maharaj is not a bigger authority. Nanda Maharaj is the second authority. Nanda Maharaj has no power when Mother Yashoda decides. He may go and request her, but she said, no means no. What do you know about the danger? I know. I'm not going to give darshan to Devi, anybody. So it's a hopeless situation. If Mother Yashoda denies, there is no question. But when there is most hopeless condition, if you still hope and still keep praying, there is mercy in that. When our hospital was closed in 2004, on 31st January 2004, our Gurudev Radhana Swami Maharaj came to visit that closed hospital. And he made one statement, which is a very powerful statement. It's a very morosing situation, very dull situation, depressing, hopeless situation. Will this ever open again? Where we will be? We'll be all scattered, and where will mission, where will service? Everything is lost. Life is lost from us. This hospital is closed. So he said, when you see hope in the most hopeless condition of life, you attract the mercy of the Lord. Attract the mercy and the attention of the Lord. So Lord Shiva was in a hopeless condition. No darshan of the Lord. But he didn't give up. He kept crying and crying and praying and crying and praying and crying. So, our Lord is a Lord finally. He has chosen to give himself up in the lap of Mother Yashoda in full surrender. But still, he doesn't lose the position of being Lord. So what the child can do to defeat his parents? Child can cry. When the child cries, the father may be Prime Minister of India or the President of America. He has to get bewildered. And he has to get confused. Why the child is crying? What does he want? He wants food, he wants medicine, he has pain in the abdomen, he has constipation. What does he have? I'm a doctor, I had a child. And believe me, as a doctor, I'm supposed to know everything. But when my baby would cry, I would not know what to do. I would myself cry at times and call other doctors, please do something. They also would get confused what to do. So when baby cries, it puts biggest intelligence into nullification, complete destruction of your intelligence. So he started crying. So she immediately put him to breast. So that baby is hungry, crying, rejected the breast, cried more. Then she gave some khilona, some toy. He rejected the toy and cried more than before. And all kinds of methods of pacifying the child, she was applying one after another. And each attempt was giving him more cry. He is crying more than before. So all attempts failed and she became completely crazy and bewildered. What to do? And all the gopis came running. When Krishna cries, all the gopis come to Mother Yashoda's house. And then they could not do anything. They had their own method of doing things. They also failed. And then they had to call Purnamasi. Purnamasi is, who's Purnamasi? She is Parvati Devi's avatar. She is acting in the Leela of Krishna in Braj as Purnamasi, as guru of all the elderly gopis. She enters as expert. No confusion, no bewilderment. She just walks in as an expert doctor and she says, "Are, recently you rejected that sadhu. You don't know who that sadhu is." She knows because he's her husband. She knows that my husband has come in the form of Rishi to take only darshan with pure purpose. Said, "You rejected him. He is a very powerful sadhu. And you don't know, by the power and blessings of sadhu, what cannot happen. You bring him back and by his blessings this child will stop crying." Now see Mother Yashoda's personality, just see. For the safety of Krishna, she has no hesitation to reject a so-called powerful sadhu. She doesn't care. In front of Krishna's welfare, you may be anybody, I don't care. I'm not going to let you see him. The same person, when somebody else is telling that, he can save the child from crying. The same person, she has no hesitation, no ego. No, I am not going to call him. I just rejected him. If you want to go, you call him. I am not going to call him. No. Immediately she sent women. Go and call him. We have to appreciate that. Now, generally when we suppose do something with somebody like that, we will not like to go and again plead that person. Because your ego will not allow. How will I take no from that person? What if I send or I go and plead that person whom I have insulted? And if he says no on my face, it will be so painful to me. Because I have given him that pain, he also would like to give that pain to me of saying no. But she had no hesitation. She immediately sent. And Lord Shiva came running from that one. It is now named as Asheshwar One. And he is called Asheshwar Mahadev. Because how to cultivate Asha, he has taught us there. How to cultivate hope, he has taught us there. So, as a result of his hope, in the most hopeless condition, Krishna cried. He took out his Brahmastra and made Yashoda helpless and call him. And he went running up the mountain. And Mother Yashoda, still having doubt, what will happen? I am taking my child, taking a risk. Like Sita Devi coming out of Lakshman Resha, taking a risk. What will happen next? She didn't know. Like that, she was wondering, what will happen if I take the baby out? But what to do? I have no other method of doing things. So she comes out with the baby. You can see Krishna in the hand crying like hell, And Rishi, Lord Shiva, in the form of Rishi, comes and touches the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as he touches the beautiful, soft, reddish, soft like butter lotus feet of the Lord stops crying immediately. And not only stops crying, he gives a big smile looking at the Rishi. Now Madhusudha is so happy that he was crying for hours together. And when children cry, I cannot explain to you, but how they become red, and how their voice becomes hoarse after some time, and it becomes very painful to hear when they cry for hours together. And then they stop, everybody is relieved. We stop crying. Mother Yashoda was so happy. And she blessed Lord Shiva in the form of sadhu. Okay, I'm so happy with you. And then she said something very unique, which actually reveals the glory of Lord Shiva. She said, today he cried and today you came and he stopped crying because you came and touched his feet. If he cries tomorrow, then what will happen? So what you do is, you stay here only. Stay here only. Chalre yogi nanda bhavan ko. You come and stay in nanda bhavan. And jab jab mero lala rove, tap tap darshan dijo. Whenever next time my lala will cry, you come and give darshan. And I offer you, I promise you that whatever I offer him, his mahaprasad I will offer you. Whenever I will bathe him, his mahaprasadam water charanamruta I will bathe you with. And don't stay below in the forest. Stay up in the mountain only. Close. So that instantly I can call you and pacify Lord Krishna who is crying. Now you tell me, what position Lord Shiva accepted, He accepted to become a toy for Krishna. What do you do with the toy? When the baby is crying, you move the toy, make the sound of the toy, and the baby starts crying. So all the toys are meant for what? To pacify the baby, to please the baby, to appease the baby. So Lord Shiva chose to become a toy for Krishna for his pleasure under the instruction of his devotee Mother Yashoda and stayed there forever as Nandishwar Mahadev. And today also he is receiving the Charanamrita and the first bhoga mahaprasad of Lord Krishna. So this is our Lord Shiva. Many people who are Lord Shiva's devotees, they feel, oh, we always tell stories of Lord Shiva in which supremacy of Lord Krishna is always the top and how Shiva is subordinate is the subject matter. It is not so. We are not here to debate who is supreme. We are only here talking about the love between the two great personalities. And how wonderful Lord Shiva is in showing his affection for Krishna. So, what we should pray to Lord Shiva? We should pray to Lord Shiva, number one, whatever is good for me, please do. Whether it tastes good for me or not, don't bother. If it is good for me, like for example, a child is sick, so mother takes him to the doctor and doctor decides to give him injection. It is not so pleasant to have injection on your buttocks or on the shoulder. But the child has to take. Maybe 4 or 5 men will come, hold the child and the injection will be given. So what are we saying? As a child, I don't understand that the injection is good for me and I need 4 or 5 men. Let anything which is not pleasant for me but is good for me, you do without fail. I may take some 4 men to be held, to hold me, or I may not take with understanding, but you do irrespective of my liking or not liking what is good for me. And please give me devotion at the feet of the most beloved of yours, most worshipable of yours. You have received the mercy of the most supreme Lord as a beloved. Me also, please take me under shelter and offer me love and devotion for the supreme Lord. I am telling you, Lord Shiva will be most and most and most pleased, because his main business actually as servant of the Lord is to give bhakti of Lord Krishna to everybody else in the world. And by the way, when you don't ask that, then he will give you good husband, good wife, wealth and this and that and that and this and that. What will do? He has power to give that also. So he will give at the order of the Lord. But the devotion to the Lord, the supreme wealth which is desirable for each and every living entity, is within the power of Lord Shiva to give us. So please do that. Shivaratri is not the birthday of Lord Shiva. Shivaratri is marriage anniversary of Lord Shiva. It is this night when Lord Shiva got married with Parvati. And the location, venue is Kanyakumari, where she was worshipping to get him as a husband. And there Lord Shiva came and they got married there in the sandy beach of Kanyakumari at the banks of Hindi Indian Ocean. And I went there as a childhood in 9th standard. There are the sand particles are of 7 colors there. And you get those packets for sale also. So what is the source of those 7 color sand particles? All the demigods came and they showered different kinds of jewels at the wedding, at the auspicious wedding of Lord Shiva and Parvati. This is not as Sati. This is the second incarnation. As the daughter of Himalaya, she was doing worship as Kanyakumari. Kanyakumari is a place where she worshipped as a Kanya, did tapasya to achieve Lord Shiva as a husband. And there the marriage took place. And all the demigods are present there. And they showered the jewel. That's why the sand is multicolored over there. It's a very beautiful place actually. And lastly, not the least, most of the demigods are not allowed to stay in Vrindavan Dham. They only come and go. No Rain Basera. Rain Basera means what? No night stay. Generally, you come in the evening, then the host will say, Are abhi raat ko reh jao, stay today, go tomorrow morning, early morning, we'll leave. But demigods are strictly under the restriction that they cannot wear any footwear when they come to Vrindavan. They have to remove their footwear out of Vrindavan. If their vehicle like Shani will come on crow and Skanda will come on peacock and Ganesha will come on the rat and so forth. Indra will come on elephant. All those vehicles are to be parked out of Braj. Remove chappals out of Braj and come walking barefoot in the Braj. In daytime only. Do the business with whatever you have and get out before it sunsets. Sunsets in the evening. But Lord Shiva and Parvati are the most special souls. In Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is explained that Lord Shiva and Parvati did 90 days of a special vrata in pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord. That's called Trimasik Vrata, which is a very elaborate vrata. You cannot imagine how elaborate it was. It required Saugandhika flowers from Man Sarovar. And Manas Sarovar, Kailash Manas Sarovar. And there, one flower of Saugandhika has 1,000 petals. It's a lotus flower called Saugandhika. And certain number of flowers, increase in number, was required every day for 90 days. And Parvati Devi maintained a pond called Manas Sarovar near Kailash with the help of Ganas of Lord Shiva and produced those flowers in a particular number per day and did her puja. Very elaborate tap it was. Very elaborate austerity. And both of them completed that vrata of 90 days. At the end of 90 days vrata, Lord Shiva and Parvati were given darshan by Radha and Krishna. And what is the benediction they gave? You can stay in Braj anywhere you like. That's why Lord Shiva and Parvati are residing in Braj Bhumi everywhere. There are thousands of forms of Lord Shiva and thousands of forms of Devi also. Very different kind of names. Nandi, Bandi, Katyayani, you can name. So many Devis are there in Dham. And they are the permanent residents of Dham. They are real Dham Vasis. And the prominent forms of the Lord in Vrindavan Dham is Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura, which Kamsa worshipped. Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, where Krishna, Shiva became Gopi and watched all the Raslila. Then he became Chakreshwar Mahadev, but at Chakratirtha he resided in the Govardhan. Then he became Nandishwar Mahadev in Nandagaon. Then he became Kameshwar Mahadev in Kamevan, where Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Radharani, worshipped him to get a daughter, to get a child basically. And then there is a Prachin Brajeshwar Mahadev made by Vajranab, installed in Barsana itself. Then there is Priyeshwar Mahadev at the banks of Pili Pokhar. Lord Radharani gave residence to Lord Shiva, please stay here. And he resided in Pili Pokhar as Priyeshwar Mahadev. Priya Radharani, by her mercy. So on and so forth, unlimited pastimes. There is Panchamukhi Shiva is there in Kamevan. There is Mana Kameshwar Mahadev also is there in Kameshwar. Kameshwar Vaman. So each and every place where Lord Krishna resides, Lord Shiva is there in Jagannath Puri. He is in, I don't know, I can go on till evening telling the stories to you. But time is of essence. In every dham of Lord Krishna, whether it is Jagannath Puri, whether it is Mayapur, whether it is any Vaikuntha form like Dwarka, or anywhere, Lord Shiva is the essential presence is there. Yog Peet, there is Kshetrapal Mahadev is there. Gopeshwar Mahadev also is there. In Yog Peet, Mayapur. Every single place. So he is the protector of the dham. He protects the mood of the dham. He protects the mood from miscreants by his presence. Creates auspiciousness for all those who come. So we must take darshan of Lord Shiva when we go to Vrindavan Dham. There are so many dear Vrajvasis who daily visit Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan. Whether it's festival or no festival. They don't love Lord Shiva because he is Mahadev of great powers and he will give some blessing of material sense gratification. They love Lord Shiva as an essential participant of Braj Leela of their beloved Lord Sri Krishna. So there is a private life of Lord Shiva and there is an official life of Lord Shiva. Official life is his Mahadev, he has this power, he has that power, he kills demons and so many activities he does. But private part is loving devotion to Lord Krishna. So when I come from office home, I am no more director or doctor or any administrator. I am just a father or a husband or a mother or a child or whatever, as a son, a brother of somebody. That is my private life. There is no topi cap of directorship at home. If you remove that and you become simple people at home and enjoy variety of relationships at home as a private part of life. So similarly, Lord Shiva is doing his duty as Mahadev officially. There is a job description for him. But privately, he is an intimate lover of Lord Krishna. Wherever there is opportunity, he will give up everything, run to Braja. Hare Krishna. Bolo Shankar Mahadev ki. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvatrukamiva Vandanat Mrityor Mukshiyamam Ritat. Shankar Mahadev ki jai ho. Shivaratri Mahamahotsav ki jai ho. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Is there any question? Anybody has any question? Yes, yes, yes. Loudly, please ask. Quickly.
So this generation genuinely believes that for the first time in the history, human beings are evolving and expanding their boundaries, breaking the walls, so as the suffering is increasing as human are into a new direction. Therefore, should not we explore the unlimited possibilities of being in this human body, because it is only accessible in this human form, and Lord Himself provides this wisdom and capability to human, as you say it, it is not accessible for cats and dogs. So despite of whatever negative happenings, there are also massive advancement happening every day. So should not we explore our human possibilities without getting involved in sinful activities or just follow what is written in the scriptures or the gurus?
You are reading from what?
So I just wrote the question while...
Oh, you wrote yourself. This is your own script. Okay. So, there is no harm in scientific research. There is no harm utilizing your brain to explore things. But the foundation of those research, that those researches should not be sense gratification, should not be selfish sense gratification and aggrandizement. If the purpose of exploration is to serve the humanity for good, then it is fine. But most researches today, what scientists are doing, is for sense gratification. And is for actually suppressing everybody else. You may not know what is happening in scientific world today. Scientific world is doing lot of research and using that material very intelligently to exploit the masses. Hold the information, keep it secret till the right time comes, release little part of it, make trillions of rupees, trillions of dollars, and then release second part of it, again fool the masses, earn trillions of dollars, again release. So all the truth is with them. But they will release it only to exploit the masses. So the scriptures are against that. There is no harm. I have lot of brain substance, gray matter, and we can utilize that and research and take out many, many things which are good for soul. That was being happening in the past when Ambarisha and Yudhishthira and Parikshit were king, and they would use all the researches and knowledge to serve the people. But today, the same brain is misused. Atom bomb is being created. Weapons are being created. Wars are being arranged so that your weapons are sold. Today, what is the big business going on today? Ukraine, Russia. They are selling trillions of worth instruments, trying on killing people, making their money. America is making maximum money by selling all the stored weapons for years together. They are waiting to finish them off. That's why they are not stopping the war. They are saying, go on buying. So the simple answer to your question is, use all that you have, intelligence, money, power, authority, to serve others, to welfare activities of others, not exploiting others. Kashmir issue and so many issues we see, only there is an exploitation by little people of the masses, depriving humans of simple things for their own selfish benefits. The few people who are in power are ruling and fooling and exploiting the whole world. And we are so simple people, we don't even know what is in their mind and what they are doing. Corona was a full, plot. Everybody was exploited for trillions of dollars. And still we are suffering. Everybody knows who did that. But the vested interest did not allow them to punish anybody. And we are suffering. So, best is to follow scriptures, because scriptures are flawless. Scriptures are not tinged with sense gratification or aim to exploit others. Scriptures are meant for welfare of everybody else. So it is safer to follow the scriptures. They are not coming now for 100 years old. Scriptures are eternally coming to us. From Ramayana time, from Dwapar Yuga time to Kali Yuga time, the scriptures are same, are being followed. There is no addition of Bhagavad Gita, new edition of Bhagavatam, new edition of Purana is not coming. The same is being followed and same is applicable also. So we are not like foolishly closing our brains and just following blindly what scripture is saying. No, sir. Use your brain, scrutinize, apply, see for yourself, then follow. Okay? Yes.
And why there is constant fight between science and religion and denying each other?
Because science is based on sense gratification today. Sorry to say, I am a science student. And I have beliefs in science. But today all science is meant for sense gratification. Why you create remote? So that I can sit down and control the speed of the fan. I can sit in the bed and see, I am just telling you, this is called as, I am becoming more and more lazy. I want calculator to count. I want everything to be mechanically done. I don't want to do anything. I want ready-made food. I want ready-made machine. Make rotis and everything ready-made. I want to just sit and enjoy. That is what science is all about. Science is not meant to make you lazy. Science is meant to make you activated more and more. To utilize your brain, IQ, everything to maximum content. So we are not against remote. I also love to sit and do control of speed. But that is not the purpose of science. Purpose of science is to unite you with the reality of life, to make you aware of the reality and accept the reality. That is the science. But who is doing that kind of science today? Tell me. Pharmacy is creating researches and new medicines for what? To make money. That's all. And fool you to take medicines more and more. This is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. You take the covering of the wheat and make vitamin B, and they'll tell you vitamin B is required for you. By taking it away from the wheat, first of all, and selling you as a vitamin B12. Right? I'm a science student, I know. So I'm telling you that you follow science along with following scriptures. Then you will be most successful, most happy and most blissful person. Because you will know where to put the scientific research, in which place, where to apply, and where not to apply also you will know, and how to apply scriptures in life and make your life blissful while you are living in this world. And at the end of your life, how to get away from this world. Everything is given in scriptures. Okay? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की। थैंक यू वेरी मच एवरीबडी। हरे कृष्णा।